This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
By the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time. All right, let's go. NHL playoffs. Are you buying or selling, Angel, that there should be legitimate worry surrounding the Colorado Avalanche, and I'm talking about the Avs making a deep run into the playoffs. Are you buying that right now? Or are you out saying, hey, now I'm not worried, this team will be fine, they'll figure it out?
I'm definitely more worried than I was a week ago.
Yeah, me too.
3-7 in their last 10 games.
Man, that Dallas game was really bad too.
Yeah, and it's not like... It's weird because they went on that stretch of like 8 or 9 games where they were just dominant and, you know, just winning all the time. So now they're just, you know, Vegas game, 3-0 most of the game, and then you give it up late and then go into overtime and lose it. You got to wonder about the confidence of this team. Obviously, the goalie situation, we know it's not great, and even trying to compare it to their last cup run, it's not reassuring. So, yeah, I'd say there's a bit of concern there.
NHL playoffs start up this weekend, too, so there's no play-in time. I mean, the Avs will play on Thursday, and I believe, I don't know if they'll play Saturday, but the playoffs start Saturday, so maybe they'll play Sunday. So there's not going to be a lot of time to figure this thing out. It's go time for the Colorado Avalanche. All right, buy or sell. Angel, we might have to put this off till tomorrow. We are going to bring Kevin back on the show, talk about this extension, see if we can get some details on Nico Medved. Buy or sell Michael Penix Jr. at 12 for the Broncos.
I said if I think Bo Nix is kind of high at 12, I probably agree the same with Michael Penix Jr.
So you're
kind of... I think he'd be more like 15 to 20. I know that's only a few spots, but...
But you're kind of throwing both of those guys in the same... Not that they're the same quarterback at all, but you're throwing them basically in the same bag of not quite top 15.
They're 5-6, and it's either or on 5 or 6.
Okay. I'm, without giving everything away here, kind of buying it. Here's my thing. It better be a damn quarterback at 12 or Brock Bowers. Anything other than that, I'm not buying it. And that quarterback better be, obviously, one of the five guys we've been talking about. And we know who it's not going to be. So it's pretty much down to Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., Brock Bowers, who I would be happy with. Those are my three. Unless they move up. And then we're dancing in a whole new ball game. What? I don't know. That's a new saying that we need to put on a t-shirt, Angel. Mm. Dancing in a whole new ball game. Buy or sell... Caitlin Clark, and this is based on just a guess, Angel, Caitlin Clark will dominate the WNBA and grow the game.
I'll buy it.
I'm rooting for it. I want her to shut up some of these old vets that are like, she ain't going to excel this league. Okay? Nobody knew the draft was tonight until Caitlin Clark told us that.
Yeah, I mean, she... She turned around the popularity of women's college basketball, not just by herself, but the different personalities and attitudes, I say in a positive sense, that brought attention to the league. You have coaches like Kim Mulkey and Dawn Staley that have those good qualities that we look for in coaches. And again, it goes back to my point, we're not going to single you out anymore. You are just a part of sports. So you're not a woman's coach that has those qualities. No, you're a great coach that has great coaching qualities. You're great players that play great.
Yeah. Yeah, now the debate is changing, and she's one of them that is changing that. So embrace it. I'm buying it just because I'm rooting for it. How about that? Buy or sell, the favorites for the NBA Finals are Boston and Denver.
I'm buying it. I think, sure, it's easy to pick a one seed and a two seed. I think the Thunder are maybe a year ahead of where they could be. They remind me kind of like what the Kings were last season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a first round exit, but I'd be worried about that second round. Boston, yeah, they're the one seed, best record in the NBA, but they do not strike fear into me. Especially the Nuggets went 2-0 against them in the regular season. If Boston doesn't win the East, it's kind of just whoever wants it.
Yeah, the East is all over, especially with Giannis. You know, him quite same situation as last year for the Bucks. He was hurt in the first couple of games in their first round.
Can the Heat do it again? Can we get a Nuggets Heat
if
rematch?
Boston gets upset, then why not the Heat? I could see the Knicks playing ridiculous defense. And maybe, I mean, I think they struggle from the three-point line. But maybe they get hot somehow.
No, the Knicks are a solid team. They beat Denver in the regular season, one of their games. Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell, can they put it all together? Orlando's been kind of his hot team. You mentioned the Bucks. Can the Sixers do anything? They got to get through their play-in game
Sixers,
first.
Same thing as Giannis kind of, you know, with Milwaukee. Is Embiid, or is he a different version? For the Knicks, the tough part is no Julius Randle. He's out for the season, so that would have been... They could have threatened.
I mean, I could see Jalen Brunson doing what Trae Young did a few years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson's a stud, dude.
He is.
He's a fun player to watch. Buy or sell, the NBA product was better this year than it has been
it
in a long time.
Depends who you ask. Because I saw a theory over the weekend that over the All-Star break, the NBA talked to the refs about foul calls because the scoring was getting out of hand. Where we had multiple 50-point games, 60, 70-point games.
Yeah.
So during the All-Star break, the NBA was like, hey, you guys can't call as many fouls because we don't need 20 free throws a game.
Yeah.
In the West, yeah, I think it's more spread out. The wealth is shared a little bit more. The East there are stars all over the East, but it just feels like it's just a different type of basketball.
It's something I've been pushing this for a long time, Angel, that if you start getting enough stars and enough stars spread out and get taken care of by their teams, you're going to see not a wide-open NBA, but you're going to see more of an NBA. I mean, Angel, we think about the 90s and the Bulls. And Jordan, at that time, there was nobody close to Jordan, was there? I mean, as far as the best player, there were great players.
No, I mean, as Magic was fading, yeah. Jordan was rising, and then as he was falling, Kobe was rising.
Once Jordan got over that hump of being a great player, which was really early in his career, almost like once he won that first championship, it was Michael Jordan and everybody else. That he was tier one by himself. It was a pyramid back then. This year, nowadays, it's not really a pyramid anymore. It's a castle. It's a flat-topped castle.
It is a trapezoid.
There you go. Where you've got four or five guys at the top, and we could debate until we're blue in the face whether it's our guy or their guy or whatever. And then there's another 7 to 8 guys at that level, and then another 10 to 12 guys. That's what is happening. I think it's beautiful. That's what the NFL has.
You have the elite players, the superstars, the stars. And those guys are pretty good.
Yeah, and that's how, like, the NFL, you say Patrick Mahomes is the best, but he had a weird regular season this year. He was still very good, but you could say some of his numbers were right there with a lot of players. In fact, a lot of Broncos fans, Russell Wilson fans, like to say that Russ had the same kind of numbers as Mahomes, which we all know that was very misleading and silly. But that's what you get in the NFL. There's no overwhelming, and again, the positions do that too. You know, you're going to have a stud at each, four or five studs at each position. But that's what's another reason the NFL's king. With the NBA, more superstars mean more eyeballs. More markets are getting excited about their team, therefore watching it. But check this out. Attendance was up 1.4% in the NBA this season. the league setting records for ticket sales and sellouts.
Well, when you're one of your bottom three teams has a guy like Victor Wembanyama,
true.
The Spurs are going to sell out every game.
That's very true.
And they probably should.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a stud, people want to go see. Caitlin Clark could go on the Fever team next year, and they're already buying tickets. They're there to see her. They're not there to see the crappy team. I'm assuming the WNBA works the same way the NBA does when it comes to draft.
I think I might have seen something that their first game is a road game that they're trying to schedule into a home game for Indiana.
So how about
they
that?
Could sell out their first game with Caitlin Clark.
Mm. Check this out, though, with the more on the NBA thing. The total attendance in the regular season that ended over the weekend was 22,536,341. The league said the second consecutive season in which the NBA set that record. Other records set this season include 872 sellouts, 71% of games selling out, and an average attendance of 18,322. That is big. That's great for the NBA.
Oh, it's definitely grown, I think, since probably 2013. The last 10 years of the NBA has been some of the most entertaining or more popular sports out there.
You're going to love this then. You're just going to love this. According to their stats and analytics people, part of the reason for the attendance boost was the success of the in-season tournament.
No.
Which was held this season for the first time. We know that, November, December. The NBA's average attendance for those November games around the league was 18,208. That was a record.
Is it a record if it's the first time you've done it?
Well, they're basing it on games compared to other games that would have happened in that same time slot, but in just the regular season.
Gotcha.
So that's what they... Well, I mean, yeah, I would imagine. If you... Even though I don't like the in-season tournament, if you were like, Brady, pick which game you want to go to. A regular season one, in-season, same cost, same day. It's like a Saturday. You get to pick which one. Yeah, I'll go check the in-season one out. The court's going to be different colored. I don't know. They might pull out all the stops. There's more entertainment factor during the timeouts and stuff. So I would pick that one. So this one last note on it. 10 teams. Boston, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Golden State, Miami, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Sacramento sold out every game. Fans from more than 150 countries and territories purchased tickets to games, the league said. It's a big day for the NBA.
Very cool.
It's a very big day for the NBA. First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. Let's see. Why does it load this way? Aaron texting in, I wonder how their numbers would change if the in-season tournament was on a Tuesday. Did they not have any Tuesday games, or were they all weekends?
They were all, I think there was one during the week.
I thought there was a Tuesday.
It was like a Tuesday-Saturday thing.
Yeah, I thought people got into that.
Because you only had, what, eight games? Or no, six or eight games.
I don't even know how it was done now. I finally learned it because Steph Curry taught us and was really irritated that we didn't know, but now I already forgot. Yeah. I don't even know how it works. It's the win percentage.
Whenever the courts were different, that meant something else.
Yeah, courts were different.
It still counts towards your record.
And then it was your win percentage that gets you to the play-ins, playoffs, or whatever.
You were in a pool of five teams, and you had to play all four teams in your pool, two home, two road.
Mm-hmm.
May the best
man win.
Top two teams of each pool goes on to another tournament game set.
Yeah,
while everyone else plays regular games, and then we go to Vegas for a weekend.
This is very dumb. But if the ratings are up, they're not going to stop. So I'm going to have to get used
to it.
The
Lakers won, so I don't care.
Lakers have their title. They got their title. No pressure on them.
They don't need to be in the play-in game. If you win the tournament, you can't get in the play-in.
Well, I thought the play-in should be for the crap fest teams, but you don't really know who that is until another 2 months down the road or whatever.
That should be a rule.
Do we want to get Kevin back on? See if we can get some details on this Nico Medved story. Nico Medved looks like he's signing a 5-year extension with the Colorado State Rams. He's not going anywhere. You're welcome, guys. Let's see if we can catch up with Kevin coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Nuggets and Avalanche games crystal clear and no call.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Abs broadcast now on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show. Moments ago, we saw this. Kevin put this story out on the Coloradoan that Nico Medved is signing a contract extension with the Colorado State Rams. So he's sticking with the Rams. We thought as much. But, Kevin, we got you back, man. Twice in one day. Twice in 1 hour. That's a new world record, my friend.
I really missed you, Brady.
I thought so.
It feels like it's been too long.
It's always too long when we don't have Kevin on the show. But, all right, so what do we know about this as far as do we have dollars yet? Do we have any extra promises that are being made here?
Yeah, so CSU still hasn't announced this extension. I expect that will come pretty soon here this afternoon. But yeah, it's a new deal. I think at least 5 additional years, maybe some option to, and don't know the exact dollar amount, but I believe it's going to be a pretty significant raise for Nico Medved, one that should push him pretty close to, you know, CSU football coach territory type of money. I think there'll probably also be a rise in the, you know, buyout for, you know, if another school were to try to take him in the future. Obviously, you know, those big schools can kind of pay whatever, so sometimes those buyouts, don't, you know, remove that risk, but at least provide some protection for a school. So, yeah, waiting on the official announcement from CSU, and, you know, shortly after that, I'll get all the contract details. And, you know, there's always interesting stuff in there beyond just the salary. You know, there's the buyout, there's, you know, is there a change in assistant coach pool? You know, what do the bonuses look like? All that type of stuff is always interesting as well, and I think always provides some little answers as to why this was signed. But, you know, the big picture is CSU's coaching staff, you know, led by Medved, looks like it's staying in place. And that's great news, I think, for CSU.
Now, Kevin, obviously, they were probably in contract talks for a while now. How much did, you know, assuming Medved pretty much knew what the details were going to be, maybe even weeks ago, how much do you think that affected him not leaving at some point? Maybe he already knew there was an extension and he liked it or whatever. Or do you think that was he was probably going to stay either way? This is CSU just coming in, making sure they take care of him.
Yeah, I think it'd be naive to think that those conversations don't play a role in what he, you know, does or doesn't do. So yeah, I think it's been ongoing for quite a while, and that certainly plays a part in, you know, if you know you probably have, you know, whatever X percent raise available at CSU, that's going to have an impact on, you know, what you consider for other jobs. And, you know, the thing we know about Medved, I think this, you know, I don't think this is, you know, a take or anything. I think it's pretty established, is that, you know, the raw salary dollar amount isn't the be-all, end-all. Obviously, that's important for every person and every coach, but I think it's pretty clear he probably could have taken other jobs that would pay him more, but it's more than just that. It's making sure he has good assistant coach pool to hire good assistant coaches or keep good assistant coaches. It's, you know, commitment to continuing to build the program, you know, things like, you know, are they going to enhance Moby Arena? I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that discussion soon. You know, obviously we know NIL has to be part of, you know, any program now and how they commit there. So I think all those things are involved. So, yeah, I would guess this conversation has been ongoing. And that's basically what John Weber and Amy Parsons said to me in Charlotte. They said, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make this a place and program where Medved wants to grow. And again, reading between the lines, that tells me, yes, increase the salary, but also, you know, just increase everything that goes with becoming a power program.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan, talking about this Nico Medved extension. And it will be it'll be interesting to get those details from you coming out in the Coloradoan a little bit later on, Kevin, as far as the financials. And, you know, maybe there is something in there about Moby and the coaches pool and everything, too. And then again, we just had this, but we're waiting next to see what the situation is with Ali for Oakmanish. And again, I would imagine no news is good news there.
Yeah, I mean, it is seeming like Ali is probably staying at CSU. Again, he's in a pretty good spot if he's a really highly regarded assistant in a good program. So you can be a highly regarded assistant in a good program for a while and kind of select a good job. It's not like he needs to jump right now to just to jump. So he's in a really good spot that he can wait and pick his first head job and make sure it's one that fits him and his family. Never say never, because this coaching cycle or carousel seems to never end. But it seems like he's going to be back. So, yeah, I think right now, seeming like a really good offseason for CSU. They're in the middle of recruiting visits. I think they have a couple pretty prominent ones potentially on campus as we speak, certainly around the previous and next 48 hours. So, significant week for CSU basketball, it feels like.
Kevin, I've asked this before. Do you feel like now, with another contract extension, that Nico would be content to be a Sonny Lubick type of guy? I ask that a lot, but my brain's constantly worrying about the next contract extension, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's signing one tells you that there's at least part of him and his family that think that this could be a place to be long term. If you're truly trying to get out, one, he would have gotten out because he could have. But two, you wouldn't be signing a new long term deal even with the raise, because it does make it a little harder to leave because of a buyout. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it means he'll be here until the 2050 basketball season, but I think it certainly means that he is keeping the door open to be, your long-term Sonny Lubick type coach if the program can continue to grow.
Kevin, I don't want to take too much credit for it, but I had him on last week at that golf thing, or last year at that golf thing, and we looked at the mountains together, and I said, hey, why would anyone ever want to leave this? And I saw it running like a Rocky montage in his brain at that moment. He was thinking of every moment that had ever happened in Fort Collins. And I think that's the reason, money, whatever. I think it was just that little thing right there, Kevin. So
yeah, I think that must have been it. Yeah,
Think about me.
See if you can get a cut there.
Yeah, well, I'll try. I mean, it won't be for lack of trying. But think about me when you write your CSU book. That's got to be part of the history there, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. When more details come out about this, we'll be sure to check it out from you, reshare, get it out there. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. We'll talk in 5 minutes. Yeah,
we'll stay on another hour. I'm sure we'll find something new. Kevin, appreciate it. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Twice in one day for Lytle. We talked Justice Ross Simmons entering the transfer portal he announced that he was entering it over the weekend. Tomorrow, a new portal thing opens up. We'll see what happens with CSU, CU on the transfer portal side, and UNC. I've had a lot of deep conversations with Coach Ed Lamb during our Football 52 podcast that we do every Wednesday morning. We moved it. It's early. It's early. Angel, I know you're here early anyway, but it's early. It's fun. I think that, Ed, you got to be at this point. You're expecting guys to enter the portal. And the way you talk to like Ed Lamb with UNC, he's not only expecting it, Angel, he's encouraging it. He is looking around, and he can tell there's going to be 10 guys on this roster that don't make sense with what we're doing, mentally, physically, whatever. So I want you to leave, but we're going to leave that up to you. And then there's going to be shocks. There's going to be guys that you're expecting to be a big part of what you're doing. So I imagine that will come out tomorrow. We'll have some interesting news about CSU probably, more than Justice Ross Simmons, about UNC probably, maybe even about Colorado and Wyoming as well. 32 minutes after the hour on Gel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Steve. So the last time the Nuggets, or well, the only time the Nuggets lost to the Pelicans this year, it was just what we were talking about, Angel. That was during a play-in game. They lost 115 to 110 NBA in-season tournament group play. No Jamal Murray in that game. Murray, you know, quickly into the season, he got hurt, then came back, then got hurt again, and I think he got hurt one more time. That was during the second time. I think it was the ankle situation for him. No, that was before the ankle.
It was hamstring.
Hamstring first.
Ankle, knee.
Yep, hamstring. This was hamstring because the Nuggets were 9-3. So this was very early in the year. They lose 115 to 110. Reggie Jackson started at point guard. Joker had 26 points, 18 assists, 16 boards. It was Christian Brown that was kind of the story, though. He played 30 minutes off the bench and had 25 points in that game. He was plus 3. So that was a big one. Zion had 26 points, 6 assists, and 4 boards. Brandon Ingram with 21 points. How much stock do you put in regular season type games? Now, you know, it's in season, whatever. When you're assessing the matchup going into the playoffs on Saturday,
I do a lot, and for both teams, the Lakers or the Pelicans, because you went 2-1 against one team, and you went 3-4-0 against the other. So there's lots of tape on both of these teams, but there's also a good idea, at least for the Lakers. You have a good idea of what they're going to run against you, but you got to add in the motivation for them, and they're going to throw different stuff at you. The Pelicans, you haven't played them since, what, January? So you're going to have to do a little more extra scouting to see how they've been playing the last 2 months.
Yeah, things changed so much in that game in November. That's hardly the same team. And the Pelicans are getting used to Zion playing a full season, almost full season. So that team's going to be much different going in. Now, the Nuggets know the Lakers very well. Not a lot has changed with the Lakers from the playoffs to this year. So that's a team you got a lot of film on. So matchup-wise and just familiarity, you would think, okay, the Lakers would prove to be the better matchup for the Nuggets because they know them better. And I probably lean that way, but again, that mental factor with LeBron, that hero factor with LeBron trying to be a savior for the Lakers and shut up the mean Nuggets that are saying, hey, we're your daddy now, like, that scares me. I don't like poking dragons or bears or whatever, and that LeBron James is still, until proven otherwise, a bear.
We were just talking about how things change throughout the season. One thing that doesn't change is Nikola Jokic being named the Western Conference Player of the Week.
Oh.
He won the award the first week and the last week of the regular season.
Well, and Shea and Luka are both in the Western Conference, so they seem to think that Joker had the better week, and this was supposed to be the week to decide who the MVP was. Angel, I just got this. Tanner dug it up. After the first 10 MVP votes have been returned, Jokic is up 9-1. Luka got Broussard's vote.
Mm.
There you go. That's interesting. That's probably a very good sign for Joker to get his third MVP in 4 years.
If I were to do a broad assessment, it's like Jokic was leading for most of the second half of the season, at least from January on. Shea is good, but he's not the young thing, but we need to see more of him do it more consistently. And Luka made a push late, but just not quite enough because you're still a 5 seed.
Well, and Angel, why do we put so much stock in the final week? Because, listen, when you look at it, sometimes you're going up against teams that are done for the season, and they have nothing to play for. I mean, you got an awesome story about Boban, you know, missing free throws so he can get the fans free chicken. They don't care at that stage. If you're a playoff team or if you're out, you're out, and you're just screwing around at that point. Or there's teams that, like Dallas, did not want to play the Nuggets. So they went in. They didn't play anybody. And they lost to the Thunder 135 to 86. And in that game, Shea only played 16 minutes. But that win got them the 1 seed. So is it fair to put that much stock into the final week when you're going to have weird games against crappy teams that are tanking? Or like at Dallas, who's like, we don't want to win this game because we don't want to play Denver in the first round.
I think it's, again, it's when you're talking about Jokic, it's a little unique because he played like 79 games out of the 82, and he never goes into a game trying to take a night off. At least he won't say it, or, you know, we'll see the stats after the game and say, oh, this was more of an assist game or more just a rebounding game, or only he only scored 2 points in the first quarter, so he's not really trying, but he never goes out trying to just not play good basketball.
Yeah, and I misspoke. It would have been Dallas and Denver in the second round.
Right.
If they would have won, they could have got a better spot or something like that. Right. With Dallas, it was something weird. It was weird. They were tanking on purpose.
Yes, because they would that if OKC would have lost, that would have gave Denver the one seed, mm-hmm. and they'd be in the same bracket with them.
Right. Right.
And the Clippers.
Yeah. So that was why, and again, that's why I think it's weird to put as much stock as we're putting into the final week of the season when, you know, you have teams that are not really in it all the way.
Wemby didn't play his last game.
Yeah. But he had no problem playing second to last game, though.
Well, and his thing was, like, right ankle management. Like, it's the last game of the season.
He's managing his ankle, Angel. You never pick when it's time to manage your ankle. You know?
I guess.
You can't pick and choose that. Pelicans Lakers this tomorrow night. I'm going to be glued to this one.
This is in New Orleans.
This is in New Orleans. Yes, okay. Because the Pelicans have the 7 seed, so there is a decent chance the Pelicans win this game. In fact, my brain is almost counting on the Pelicans.
Yes, the Lakers seem like, you know, they did win the play-in games last year, and that's what got them into the 7 seed. So I would maybe expect the Lakers to drop this one and then come back and try to beat one of the California teams.
Let's educate everybody too, those that forgot. If the Lakers lose tomorrow night, they're not out. Yes. They still get a chance to play the winner between the Kings and the Warriors, and then if they win that, they'll get the 8th seed.
Yes, and in that game, Sacramento is the home team, Warriors away. Sacramento's 24-17 at home. The Warriors are 25-16 on the road, but the Warriors are a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, so if you're a 7 or 8, you just got to win once, and you can lose once. Or you can lose twice. Well, lose once, I guess, before you're out. If you're the Kings or the Warriors, which are sitting at 9-10, you have to win twice to get in.
Wouldn't the NBA love the Warriors and the Lakers in a play-in game?
I thought they were in that last year. Was that not the thing? I thought it was. Yeah, that would be...
And then, the winner gets to go play the future superstar SGA.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, the Nuggets. We'll give them the Pelicans. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be kind of poetic in a way, though, because we were talking about changing of the guard and the Lakers, LeBron... Not necessarily the Lakers, but LeBron and the Warriors with Steph, obviously, we're getting down to it, man. I mean, this is when guys like Steph Curry might start going elsewhere as far as different teams to go team up with. Because he's not past his prime. He's still playing at an extremely high level.
Yes.
But you're looking at your situation and the contracts and Draymond Green and all that, Klay Thompson, and you're going, this isn't the same team that I won championships with.
Like, I want to see Steph go to the East.
Yeah, get him the hell out of here. Yeah, I'm good with that. Take Luka with you, man, or send him to Denver.
Go play in, like, Orlando or something.
Yeah. I would like to see it. But Steph's probably at that point. So you're kind of like, is this the last hurrah for Golden State as we know them? With Steve Kerr and Curry and Klay and Draymond. Is this the last go?
I could really see it. With the Draymond stuff this year, Klay has not really been the same.
No,
Klay's since
coming off the bench a lot. And yeah,
Kerr's getting a lot of questionable decisions and questionable looks at him. So, yeah, and I could see Steph saying, I want to go play my last 3-4 years somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm, like, really intrigued by these storylines in the Western Conference side. You know, even the Pelicans aren't that uninteresting to me.
East doesn't do anything for you.
I'm into the Knicks.
Maybe a good game.
I'm into the Heat in Philly. Like, Philly with Joel Embiid. What's that situation like?
Miami has this weird you know, what they did last year, they were the eighth seed and went all the way to the finals. Can playoff Jimmy Butler show up again? Will Tyler Hero actually play any?
Yeah, there's a lot of young stars in the East that aren't star stars. You know what I mean? Like, well, Jalen Brunson, but like, you look at Boston, and that's an interesting team. Boston's must-see television. But for New York, really tough defense. Tough nose defense, great defensive team, best rebounding team in the NBA. They traded for OG Anunoby.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I know who you're talking
about. Yes, they traded for him. I always screw up his name. Brunson's been sensational. 28 points per game. They got Josh Hart. And they got a former Nugget, too, with Isaiah Hartenstein, who's like just a big body out there. Sure. Not, his numbers don't overwhelm you. The Bucks, if Giannis and Dame are together, that's must-see television. But is Giannis going to play in the first round?
I mean, I haven't watched a Bucks game all year outside of when they play the Nuggets.
I've watched a couple whenever they were on national television. Dame's still
Dame. They're
not
like a visually appealing team. Maybe that's it for me. Like, that green is just
It's
not,
funny because like, Giannis... It's funny you say this, because I was thinking about this the other day. Why does everybody think Giannis's game is sexier than Joker's? It's not. It's like Joel Embiid is more entertaining to me than Giannis is. Giannis is fun to watch, but it's not like he's overwhelmed. Yeah, the Greek freak, the body and all that stuff. Like, that's it. But he's not like the smoothest player
it's
in the history of the world.
Clunky-ish.
Yeah, it's not as smooth as like when we're always saying, why does Giannis get the love that Joker? Joker's game is actually prettier than Giannis's, and I'm being. Like, 100% honest. Joel Embiid acts easy. He can shoot, but when he's posting up, he's big man.
Where
and Giannis does, too. But
with, like, Wemby's game. Because Wemby has very good technical skill.
Yeah, he's got good footwork. That'll only get better. He doesn't have the best, but it's getting better. He has great touch around the basket, too. It's not just being tall. So, I think he has potential to be better than Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Giannis could...
He puts on, like...
Gotta eat some burgers, man.
You live in Texas. Go get some barbecue every day.
Eat all the time. Yes. Don't know if he'll be better. Like, Joel Embiid, for all the crap we talk, he is a sensational basketball player.
Yes, his athleticism at that size is impressive.
Yeah, so on that note, like, the Sixers are more interesting to me than the Bucks. With Wemby, we'll see. This is probably his last year not being in the playoffs. I think because they're gonna get a stud in the draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
They might get your boy, Dalton Knecht, and this one is your boy. It checks out. They might get him. Wow, wouldn't that be...
That'd be fun to watch.
That'd be nuts, dude.
That's like Tim Duncan, Kawhi 2.0.
Yeah. Cleveland's not that interesting to me. I mean, they have really good inside interior defenders and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Donovan Mitchell was more interesting when he played for Utah.
Yep.
He's still good, but he was way more interesting when he played for Utah. All right, we got a break. We'll jump out real quick, and we'll get to what we learned today. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Good morning, NoCo, with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what do you say?
What did we learn on this 15th day of April? I learned that championship teams can stumble. They can stumble in the regular season. And the Nuggets, unfortunately, were at the finish line and stumbled right before. And unlike Lightning McQueen, they couldn't stretch their tongue out long enough to pass the Thunder. The Thunder handled it. I'm not worried. I'm saying the Nuggets repeat. So I learned that champions stumble. but they can recover, and they will recover. They're winning on Saturday. Whether it's the Pelicans or the Lakers, they will go up 1-0.
Well, the reality is you split with Minnesota. You lost the series 3-1 against the Thunder this regular season. So you want to get revenge, do it in the Western Conference Finals, but let's hope not, because you want the ones, or you want the home court, which you can still get if OKC loses at any point. I learned, yeah, that I'm excited for the NBA playoffs to get going.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Has a lot more. I think it gets more and more interesting each year, especially now that we're in this. The Nuggets are in a different spot than they were last year, waiting on the eighth seed. Now we just have one game to find out who they're going to be playing.
Yeah, we do. Tomorrow night will be big. Pay attention to this one. Look at the matchups. Watch how the big men play. It'll tell you a lot about what to expect in this one coming up on Saturday. And we don't know what time, though. Are we guessing mid to late afternoon?
I'm going to guess either this third or fourth game.
Okay. Because I looked, and it looked like it was the third game, but it was all TBD on all of the games, so they're going to figure it out.
I'm going to bet fourth because it's Denver, and they're usually the latest game.
Do you think they'll be late game?
Yeah.
Okay, so I might be able to pop out to the spring game. You know, I might. We'll see what happens.
Depends. If they get the Lakers, then for sure late night game.
Yeah, yeah. So, New Orleans Lakers tomorrow. That's a big one. The Rockies are going back at it today. Here we are. Halfway point in the month.
Phillies,
yep.
It's Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, it is. Yes,
so
that's
don't
right.
Don't get confused when everyone's wearing the same number.
Yeah, maybe it'll help the Rockies out a little bit. And they can get their first series win. It is officially mid-month, Angel. And we have not witnessed a Rockies series win yet.
They are good for one win per series.
Let's go. So far, so good. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. We'll break down more into the NBA playoffs and so much more. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.